98% pure potato.
98%
pure potato. Hello and welcome to the latest 98% Pure Potato podcast. This week I want to talk about cleverness, and I've discovered a classic piece of a lack of cleverness on my part. There was a story which I thought was in the book, and it's not. I think it went out of one of the last edits. Not quite sure why it went, because I think it's a cracking story. But it illustrates the issue of cleverness and how it can become a problem for planners and planning. It was a story told by Adam Lurie, who was working as a junior planner at Burns-Mazzini Pollitt. And he tells this story about having an argument with Alan Tilby, who was creative director at the time, who he describes as a working class boy. And what he said was, we had this bust up, and at the end he says, fucking planners, just because you win every argument, you're not always right. And Adam Lurie comments that it took him a while to realise that he was right. And it made me think a lot harder about intellect and what we're doing about it. Adam Lurie was one of the people we interviewed who expressed strong reservations about the focus on cleverness. Now, what you'll see if you read the book is that one of the characteristics of planning, particularly at Burns-Mazzini Pollitt when it started, was a real elitism. They claimed that they recruited graduate trainees from Oxford and Cambridge only, even though that wasn't true. So part of the whole mythology they projected was that they only hired the very brightest people, and they wanted intellectuals. The effect of this, not only in Burns-Mazzini Pollitt, but arguably it was reported within planners at Jobe Wells Thompson as well, is this focus on cleverness, but not always with a clear point. And I go back to Adam Lurie again, who talks about the way in which when you've got a job like being a creative, and you call yourselves the creative department, it implies that you're the only one in the agency able to be creative, and nobody else is. Because creatives get work turned down so often, they almost overemphasize creativity. They give each other creative awards just to make themselves feel better when the work actually does get through. But the danger is it becomes self-congratulatory and self-serving. And when the planning department comes along, it does exactly the same thing. But this time it does it with intellect. So the implication is that somehow on every account team, the planner is the brainy one. The planner is then wheeled into meetings as being the one with the answers, or who gets there quicker than everyone else, even if others don't particularly want to go along with the smarty pants who's always first off to say what the right answer is. And in effect, intellect gets in the way. I think it's also dangerous that when you position someone in the team, primarily because they're clever, they get wheeled in to be clever, whether or not it's relevant to the work or what the client needs to do. So in other words, it's a way of somehow browbeating a client into doing the right thing because the clever one in the corner says that's what you should do. And I think the final aspect of cleverness, which is difficult, is this idea of compensation. People basically doing a lot of fairly banal things or doing work which they ultimately find relatively dull and not particularly worthwhile. This actually came up at the recent APG noisy thinking debate about brand purpose, and one of the observations was made was that people in the business need brand purpose, not for any better reason than if your work is banal and doesn't seem to be doing very much because you're just selling soap powder, you invent some grand purpose to make yourself feel better about it. So this final aspect of intellectualizing basically says, let's try and turn what we're doing, which is fairly ordinary, into something extraordinary, or at least above ordinary, because actually it's the only way we can cope with something which takes far too much of our time, and actually, on the relative scale of how important it is, isn't that important. And I think one of the things that was played back very much by planners that we spoke to was that much as they'd enjoyed planning, one of the things they'd had to come to terms with was how relatively trivial it was in terms of what they'd done, and they really appreciated taking their planning skills and going off and doing something else. So I just wanted to highlight this issue of intellect and to pose the question, is it possible to be a planner without being clever, or without, in that sense, projecting cleverness and having to be the clever one on the team. Because the indications we got from the book was that although, no question, planners are a bright bunch, actually wearing cleverness on your sleeve, that's probably the wrong metaphor, isn't always the brightest thing to do.